Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And tonight our topic is your weaknesses are God's gift to teach you how to operate in love. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Our Father and our God, oh, we thank you, Father God, so much for your spirit dwelling with us, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for another opportunity, Father God, to be used in your service. Right now, we just ask it, Father, as we decrease and you increase, Father God, that you allow your word to speak through us and in us, Father God.
Amen, amen. Thank you. And again, tonight our topic is your weaknesses are God's gift to teach you how to operate in love. We will be discussing how much we have to realize that when we are going through, no matter what it is, how it looks or how it feels, it is our affliction that God has given us to make us stronger for our assignment. There's no way out except for the way that God provides, and he is not going to take away our cup until the work is finished. Although we feel the pressures of learning how to adjust to pain and disappointment, we must learn to come to understand that the work of going through the fire for God is not an easy task. God did not promise us that we would not hurt. Instead, he sent Jesus to show us how to gracefully stand our pain. No matter what we go through, the lesson is always love, just as it was when Jesus was on the cross. We must learn how to operate in love and our afflictions so God can finish the work of making us strong in our weaknesses. Amen?
Amen.
And tonight we're coming out of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9, verse 7 through 10. And we're coming out of the Message Bible. And it says, because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I did think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough. Is all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so, the weaker I get, the stronger I become. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen, amen, amen. And this topic, your weaknesses are God's gift to you, God's gift to teach you how to operate in love. Amen. I'm so grateful for this because, I can relate. I can definitely relate. You know, I was sharing with my husband earlier that I could see how God put the two of us together so that we could learn how to operate in love. And there were some things that we had to go through, you know, those weaknesses, those afflictions, those inabilities. Lord have mercy. You know, and just the stuff that we just didn't know about love. You know, he put us together so that he could strengthen us and show us what love was, you know, and helped us to build a 3-4-4 core because we didn't have one. And we was not strong without that. Amen.
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 Yes, in our weakness, he is strong. And even showing us how to receive his love,
mm-hmm.
because I believe in my life, that was my biggest problem. never really seen love shown, had me at such a disadvantage in my relationship because everything was more so physical instead of spiritual. And love is a spiritual thing. Without it, you can't really love someone. Not from the perspective of God's word. You just, it's impossible. To coin a lyric from one of my secular artists that I used to listen to back in the day, Bruce Collins, he had a song called Physical Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it said physical love, one of the lyrics in it is physical love cannot be real,
mm-hmm.
despite of the way we feel. And when you think of it in the context in which it's, you know, what's said, it's true. Physical love cannot be real,
mm-hmm.
because it's based on feeling and emotion coming from the spirit. So being brought up in an environment that was basically that, you know, physical, that's how I related to what I thought was love,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it doesn't last because it's coming from a place of self-gratification. And when you try to gratify self, it doesn't last. It's not fulfilling. It's empty. It's shallow, you know. So there's no heart in it. You know, it's no real depth and real passion and desire in it. It's only what the flesh wants.
Mm.
You know, so.
And that's our handicap.
And that's definitely a handicap. Because, you know, once the novelty wears off, then where are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just left with the emptiness that really doesn't satisfy.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Instead of void that needs to be filled with something spiritual, and we keep trying to put something physical in there, you
right.
know. And nobody can walk around, you know, with orgasm all day long. You know, we got to learn how to be able to get along with people and understand people from a parallel position. You know, learn to love people from the neck up before you start trying to love them from the neck down.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think that the affliction that we have, if we start looking at those issues, you know, because a lot of times in our ministry, that's what we want to talk about, those issues, because it's those afflictions that we face that keep us from being able to operate in love because we don't understand why they're there. And we get a chance to start looking into those issues like you was talking about earlier, you know, about not being able to see things, you know, you don't have role models. You know, you're not reading the book that can help you, you know, the Bible. So you don't have anything to build on to find out what it is that's going on inside of you.
Right.
Because that's what we need to start looking at. What's going on inside of me?
That's the mirror.
Amen.
His word is the mirror. God's word is the mirror that shows us and it gives us that reflection of really what we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So we can come to understand what needs to be changed in us so that we can be what God created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because he created us in his image and likeness. And that's the reflection that we want to see from his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not what society said, what mom and daddy said, what your friends say, none of that. Even what you might even perceive to be who you think you are.
Right.
But it's what God has created us to be. I was just sharing with you a few minutes ago about a word that I was listening to on TBN, and the main theme was being authentic, you know, who God created us to be. You know, our DNA defines us in a world of over 7 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
We are authentic in God's hand of creation. None of us are the same.
Right.
You know, so...
Even we were talking about that on Saturday.
Right.
In the purpose driven book, he was talking about how God put us together, you know, put our parents together so that it would be the right DNA
for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no accident.
Mm-mm.
You know, it was all divinely orchestrated.
Amen.
And in that same flow, you know, that defines who we are in Him. And that's where we get our identity from, our true identity from.
Mm-hmm.
It's who we are in Christ and Christ in us. You know, so, you know, and when you was reading your narrative, you had mentioned the cup, and it took me back to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, it was a bitter cup that Christ had to take
in order
to fulfill the purpose that he came to earth for, mm-hmm. you know. And he came to do the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But his flesh and his human form knew this was going to be a painful ordeal. And he agonized over that to the point where he sweated blood from his brow.
Mm-hmm.
But the love that he had for humanity, he said, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and that's the same way that we have to look at life today in our lives. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come,
mm-hmm.
you know, into this earthen vessel,
mm-hmm.
into this $1.29 worth of dirt,
mm-hmm.
and let his will be done in my life so that I can fulfill the calling, the assignment, and the purpose that he placed in my life. And until I identify what all that is, then I'll never find my destiny. I never know who I really am, you know. And through those things that you talk about, the adversities and the trials and the tribulations that we go through in life, it forges our character
mm-hmm.
to be that in which God will give us that strength and our weakness so that we can fulfill that assignment that he has on our lives. Because until we fulfill that, we don't even begin to really live our lives. Because that's the trajectory that God has to give us to our destination,
mm-hmm.
you know. And fulfilling that assignment is the purpose while we're here.
You had made a good point earlier when we was talking before the show, and you was talking about how, you know, in our marriage, you were saying that the key thing, because I was talking about how, you know, I recognize that God had put us together, you know, because of our weaknesses, you know, and there were some things in me that had to be removed, you know, and likewise with you, you know, and what God did was put us together, and you and the words that you were saying about how the key was that you stayed, you know. And I always thank you for that, too, because a lot of men don't stay. You know, a lot of men say, okay, I can't do this kind of crazy. You know, so might be some other kind of crazy because we all got our different kinds and different levels, you know, and scenarios
yeah.
are crazy.
Okay,
you know, it's humans. But, you know, there are people that will say, no, I'm not going to do this. You know, I am not going to do this, period. You know, and they leave 5 minutes before that miracle can happen, you know. Especially in a marriage, you know, when we made that covenant, you know, we got to find ways to be able to go beyond what it is that the flesh wants, what the mind thinks, and get an understanding of what it is that God is trying to do inside of us, for us, because it truly is a gift,
amen.
You know, that we get.
And like Paul, you know, he had that affliction, and we have that affliction too. You know,
mm-hmm.
in our relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like, you know, Paul said, you know, I told him, my grace is sufficient.
Exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and at the time, I wasn't spiritually aware of that because I wasn't in that place at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what God was telling us. My grace is sufficient. You're gonna be able to withstand everything you're going through,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I already preordained and destined this, and you can fight against it all you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, you're gonna be sitting at 8:31 Wright Drive doing ministry, when I'm finished with you. And I really, not finished, really just started, you know, but he brought us together for a reason, for a purpose. And, you know, back then we couldn't see it because there was so much other stuff that was going on. It was our affliction at the time. It wasn't just one thing like it was with Paul. It was a bunch of stuff with us. And we was allowing it to come and manipulate our lives, you know, but just by staying, you know, because like you said, if I had left and we had a part of ways, we would have never seen America, you know, and I am very humbled and grateful for that because, you know, even, you know, for us to deal with. So, you know, God's got to be holding it together. You know, because it's that dunamis power, you know, that God possesses that it's hard to explain in words, you know, but it's so powerful because it's in his word. You know, and when we allow his word to operate in us and we use these vessels to use his word, you know, it just does something to you, you know.
It's what strengthens you.
It does, but it empowers you too, you know. And it helps you to go through those trials and tribulations, you know. And it helps you to even deal with the affliction that come along with life, you know, because he said in his word, his grace is sufficient, his unmerited faith, his over-the-top goodness. Mm-hmm. That good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And it's power to salvation. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the scripture tells us. So it is so incumbent on us to understand that it is a gift. We might not look at it as such, and we might not even understand
it. Well, we can't see it when we're going through.
We
know, we're fussing and fighting and cussing each other out and drawing blood and keeping a spirit of separation, you know, we can't see it because we're not operating in God.
Not at all.
You know, so when we're not operating in God, we're not going to get the gift
of
what God got for us.
We're outside of his will for our lives. So, you know,
yeah, we miss
it. It's imperative that, you know, we don't see it. You know, we can't see it because we're not looking at each other through spiritual eyes.
Right.
You know, all that we see is whatever it is that we want and trying to achieve for ourselves at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really not caring how each other feels, you know. It's just everything that the enemy can throw. He's throwing at us because
mm-hmm.
he wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
You know, that's his resume. That's his modus.
M.O.
Yeah.
That's his M.O. That's right. And we have to go back to just realizing that whatever the affliction is in relationships, you know, start paying attention to understanding that God is doing something. You know, he's working something out of us.
Something good.
Yes, he's always up to something good. And no matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels like, we just keep going and persevere and start praying. Start meditating. You know, if you don't have the other person praying and meditating with you, pray and meditate for them. You know, stand in the gap, you know, and do those things because I know that when we started coming around, you know, to try to act like people that were in a marriage, it was very important when we started praying. You know, I prayed for you and you prayed for me, you know, and a lot of times we didn't even know that we was praying for each other. You know, a lot of stuff we've learned about each other since we have come together, you know, and can talk about these things. But the process was that somebody had to start praying. Somebody had to start making a connection with God.
Amen.
Somebody had to start doing something that was spiritual.
Amen.
Somebody had
Amen.
To start Amen. Acting like a child of God. Because a lot of times we say we know God and we love God, but we don't want to do what it is that God tells us to do. And that's why we start facing all those different dilemmas, you know. And if you and when you're on your journey, don't stop. You know, because soon as we stop, everything stop with it. You know, we got to, God said pray without ceasing. We cannot stop. We can't ever stop. We still have to continuously pray. Keep speaking those good things into our lives, you know. Keep covering each other, you know. Keep lifting each other up. He said exalt one another. We have to keep doing that. Because as soon as we stop doing that, the mind starts working with the enemy again. That's the battlefield.
That's it.
You know. And we find out that we're going to be sitting up there watching TV, everything going just as well as it could have been. And before we know it, the mind will trick you again. Now you're still there thinking, oh, yeah, now I remember he did that. Now my attitude is going to change. And those spirits going to jump. Your attitude is going to change. And we can find ourselves right back in the same spot. We got to make sure that in our weaknesses, that we realize that it's only with God that we have enough strength to fight those principalities.
That's right.
That's the only way we're going to be able to do it. We can't do it on our own.
His word. Because, you know, without it, what do we have? You know?
The fight.
I mean, we're going to be built. We're going to be built without it. So, you know, it's very incumbent upon us to yield to his word and his way, be obedient, humbling ourselves, you know, under his might and his power, you know, and allow him to do the work, you know, resting in him, you know, depending and leaning on and trusting in his word and believing that everything that he said, you know,
and not letting your faith waver like that, because my faith wavered. Oh, it wavered so many different times trying to go through it, you know. And I was like, God, I just don't believe this is what I'm supposed to be doing, Lord, you know. And when we have that unbelief, then, you know, we start looking more through natural eyes and we really can't see what it is that God is trying to do. We start looking over those little things I was talking about yesterday, you know, the gradual change. We start looking over there and start taking it for granted, you know, that this ain't real. This ain't happening. He ain't being nice for real, for real. He wants something, you know. He just apologized. You know, we start making up things that the enemy can relate to. You know, still standing on God's word, you know, and being able to have that kind of compassion for
and
each other.
And look for the good.
Yeah, and look for the good, because we don't look for the good when we lost like that. You know, and it's very important that we try to connect with that, because those weaknesses that we have, they're there for a reason. They're there so that we will not depend on ourselves.
And on ourselves. Amen.
We're not supposed to do that. Every time I think that I need to fix my marriage or I need to fix my relationship, I'm out of order. And I'm going to suffer. There's some suffering in that.
Yeah,
you can't take God in your own life. You need to sit down
and
somewhere.
That's what a lot of, you know, society is trying to get people to make it toward, you know, that I am God mentality.
It's not true. Like I was telling you about, somebody was talking about they was hurt, you know, and they were physically hurt, and they were asking people to pray for them. You know, the wisdom that God give us tell us to go to see a doctor. You know, it's okay to pray, but wisdom will tell you don't sit up there when something is broken. You know, waiting on your prayer. You see, if you don't pray, if you don't pray about it, if you had listened, God probably told you, go to the doctor, it broke, you know, because God made doctors for us. You know, we got to stop being so religious, you know, with those religious spirits and find out that we need help. We need help.
Amen.
We can't just keep thinking that we got all this power that we don't have. You know, God gives us, he gives us some wisdom, common sense. You know, I remember the old people used to say, baby, you got to have some walking around sense. You got to have some.
I believe when you brought that up too, I had made mention, you know, even one of Jesus' disciples was a physician.
Amen.
You know,
sure did.
And I said that Luke you know, didn't really have much of a practice because he was walking around with Jesus. So, you know, but
that tells something, though.
You know, I mean, the doctors do the physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But God does the healing.
Amen.
God does the healing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you got a wound, you know, that needs to be stitched up, you know, that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll give you something for your pain, physical pain,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you pray and just be obedient to God's word, believing that His stripes.
You will be healed.
You are healed.
You are healed. Amen.
It's a done deal.
Amen.
But you got to believe in it. You have to learn to operate in the finished work of the cross. You know, so.
And I think that's one of our afflictions too, not being able to operate in it. You know, because, I mean, we got to have faith.
I mean,
we have got to believe. You have got to believe that there is a God and it's not you.
That's right.
And you got to believe that He know what He's doing with your life.
Amen.
And you don't have to keep destroying it yourself.
That's right.
Lean on what it is that He's telling you, because God gives you the direction. I just love Him so much.
Amen.
I'm so grateful that He has shown me in this relationship the gift of my weakness was that I did not have to stay that way forever.
Amen.
And I am glad that you stayed to help me find that out. To God be the glory, amen. And I'm glad I stayed with you through all your stuff.
Amen.
You thanking me?
I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God for you.
I thank God for you, too.
Where would I be?
Where would we be? We wouldn't be here.
You know, and it's such a blessing, though, you know, to have been obedient and just stay, you know.
Through it all.
Through it all. And just confused and lost, and I'm here. You know, and He said, when you've done all you can do,
Just stick and stay.
Mm-hmm. You know, don't run away. Just stay. And just let God be God and let Him do the work.
And you if know? You run away, do like you did. Come back.
Come back.
God send you back. Because He sent you back, didn't He?
Yes,
no,
he sent me back. You know, because He had a plan, already planned for my life.
Amen.
You know? And my plan wasn't working. Mm. You know.
That's what we really need to take note of. Is your plan really working? No, it's not. Go to the Father and ask Him, what can you do? And He'll tell you.
What
to
do.
Mm-hmm. And He'll tell you. Go somewhere else.
Amen.
And do what He told you to do.
God be the
Lord. Let Him make you stronger.
And the miracle will come. It will come in your life. And, you know, you just got to keep seeking you first, the King. And all the things we have for you, we had unto you.
Amen.
What He has.
Right.
It's better than anything that we could ever obtain on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I give Him the praise and the glory.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I'd like to thank you and if you'll pray us out.
Father God, again, we are so grateful, Father God, and humbled by your word and your presence, Father God. And we just ask and pray, Father God, that you continue to use us and we'll forever be thankful. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And we want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. Just remember that no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance or the problem, the lesson is always love. Amen.
But I know it's the only way you can make it.